Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome into this special breaking news edition of the Bulls Talk Podcast. You'd think on August 22nd the NBA would be quiet, but it's a 365-day-a-year news cycle right now. And we're joined by our good friend Kendall Gill. Kevin Anderson is here as well. And the big news, a trade between the two best teams in the East, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. In case you haven't heard, Kyrie Irving, who had requested a trade, is now joining the Boston Celtics, and Cleveland gets back a lot of assets in return. They get back Isaiah Thomas, the third leading scorer in the NBA. They get back Jay Crowder, a good two-way small forward. They get a center prospect in Ante Zizic, and they get one of Danny Ainge's coveted Brooklyn Nets picks.
Assets. They get assets
which back. May be top three, top five in next year's draft. Kendall, my reaction initially is I think Kyrie Irving's the best player in the trade, and I think he's really going to help Boston. But, boy, Cleveland got a lot back, didn't they?
I really like what Cleveland did. I mean, they got a lot back, especially that pick from Brooklyn. As you said, it could be top three or five pick in the draft, and we don't know what that may turn out to be. But, you know, I think that Cleveland set themselves up just in case LeBron does leave after next year if they don't win the championship.
You know, I thought that the trade, it's the first time I thought Danny Ainge didn't win a trade. I mean, he covets his assets so much. And, you know, really what it comes down to is which team is better in the short term, which team is better in the long term because of this deal. I think the Cavs certainly are better in the long term with this deal. And in the short term, I'm not convinced that the Celtics win the trade in terms of for this upcoming season. I mean, I love what Kyrie Irving brings to the table as a player. Elite scorer, certainly is a great playmaker, one of the best finishers at the rim in the entire game. But at the same time, is essentially Isaiah and Jay Crowder, I think they're about equal for Kyrie. I mean, this was a situation in which the Cavs certainly felt like they had to trade Kyrie. Kyrie wanted to force a deal. But for Celtics' perspective, I'm just a little confused on why the Celtics had to include an unprotected first-round pick from the Nets. If we're their own first-round pick, I get it. But this is going to be a top-three pick in a loaded draft.
Well, I think Danny Ainge looks at it that Kyrie Irving is definitely a top-10 player in the league. Remember, it was Kyrie Irving who hit the jumper to win the championship in 2016, not LeBron James. Kyrie Irving is clutch. He's not afraid of the spotlight. He'll step up in big situations. I think even though Isaiah Thomas has had two really good years, he's 5'9", he had hip surgery, he's going to be 30 years old. I think the Celtics looked at it as they're really getting a big upgrade at that position with Kyrie Irving, who is legitimately a top 10 player in the NBA.
Yeah, I think so, Mark. And, you know, I think that you said it best. Isaiah Thomas is 5'9", 30 years old. He's also on the last year of his deal. He's going to be looking for big money after this. You got Kyrie Irving for another 2 years. Also, Kyrie is a game changer. You know, as you said earlier, he hit the shot to win the championship for the Cavs. It wasn't LeBron James. And I think that Kyrie Irving now, at this point in his career, is ready to be the number one guy and an effective number one guy. You know, now you have Tatum, now who I think is probably going to be the best rookie in the draft. You have Gordon Hayward coming over now. And you also have Jaylen Brown. So, you still have assets that you could trade. You know, if I was Cleveland, I would have probably asked for Jaylen Brown as well, but I think that Cleveland still did well for the future getting that third pick.
Kendall, do you think if let's go back to draft night, knowing how this offseason has unfolded, do you think that Ainge would have done the deal for Butler knowing he could have got Butler for probably half the price of what he got Kyrie at?
If he could have got Jimmy for half the price, no, because I think that he was looking for a guy that could change the landscape of his team. He was looking for somebody that could step in Isaiah Thomas's place and be a little bit better than Isaiah Thomas. You know, and I think that, you know, not taking anything away from Jimmy, but real basketball people know the value of what Jimmy Butler brings to the table. That's why Danny Ainge really didn't offer the Brooklyn pick for Jimmy, or else this deal would have been done a long time ago. So, no, I don't think that Danny would have pulled the trigger on Jimmy Butler either way it went.
Yeah, I think Kendall said it best. I mean, here in Chicago, we see Jimmy Butler every day, and we see the hard work he put in to transform himself from a guy who didn't play at all as a rookie to a multiple-time NBA All-Star, and you think, well, how could you give up on a guy like that? But as Kendall mentioned, around the league, they also know that Jimmy has some warts in his game. And, you know, mm-hmm. Danny Ainge supposedly offered multiple first-round draft picks to try to get Paul George on draft night because the Celtics and a lot of people around the NBA will tell you that Paul George is a much better player than Jimmy Butler. And I think that's a situation where Ainge was not going to go into that treasure trove of draft picks to try to get JB. He would give one to get Kyrie Irving, and he would have given multiple picks to get Paul George.
Let's look at these two rosters as they're constructed right now. Clearly the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. In a seven-game series, who wins that series? I think right now I still give the edge to the Cavs with LeBron.
Yeah, I give the edge. I give the edge to the Cavs. You know, they still have Kevin Love, still have LeBron. They have Derrick Rose, who's come off of a season where he averaged 18 points a game. Jay Crowder now, also Smith. They basically have their whole team back, besides Kyrie Irving. And now you fill the void of Kyrie Irving with Derrick Rose and Isaiah Thomas. And actually, guys, I just tweeted this out a little while ago. I'm not really convinced that the Cavs hold on to Isaiah Thomas. I mean, could there be a possibility where he's moved for another piece? Because after all, he's going to be looking for big money after this 1 year is up. He's 30 years old and he's coming off the hip surgery. So does he stay in Cleveland?
Yeah, it'll be something to watch. I mean, Cleveland's been trying to get out from under some contracts. They still have big contracts for Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert. They've been shopping Iman Shumpert to just about everybody. So there is a possibility that Cleveland could make another move. And there's also a chance that a guy named Dwayne Wade may be joining the Cavaliers roster. But we'll talk about that a little later. You know, Kendall, I think that the fact that LeBron, at least the rumors are out there that he may leave at the end of the season, I think that's one of the reasons why they made this deal. They get the 2018 Brooklyn pick, which is going to be top 3 to 5. You know, they get Isaiah Thomas, who they could re-sign if they wanted to for big money, and they're already trying to think of what's the roster going to look like if LeBron leaves. And I think they're, like you mentioned, with LeBron on the team, they're still the favorites in the East for next season, but they've also got a head start on a rebuild if James leaves.
Yeah, they do, which is why this move was very important for them. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't think Isaiah Thomas is looked at as part of the rebuild because of his age and because of his size. I mean, I think you have to look at the pick is the main part of this deal as far as rebuilding. And Crowder is still pretty young as well. You know, now, going back to LeBron James, I don't think that LeBron James leaves. I know everybody is saying that he's leaving and everything, but, I read an article about a year or so back where he says, I can't do that again. You know, and unless this team, like, totally tanks, I mean, what if he wins it again? Does he stay? I mean, I don't see how you can leave a championship team.
You know, it's interesting that this deal, it really sets the Cavs up both short-term and long-term. Mm-hmm. So in terms of this upcoming season, you know, to your point, Kendall, I don't think the Cavs want Derrick Rose starting the majority of the games for them. You know, they brought him in. He is going to be their backup point guard behind Isaiah. And in that role, I think Derrick will do really well in that role. I think that's what they wanted him to be. And then the whole Kyrie thing went down, and they were faced with having to, you know, start Derek, and that's not going to happen. I think they keep Isaiah all year long. And the interesting part is that the first pick they're getting from the Nets, the unprotected first-round pick, it gives them flexibility. Because if LeBron decides he wants out and they know it by draft night next year, they keep that pick and they rebuild. If LeBron wants to stay in Cleveland, that pick is going to be a top three pick. That is a great piece in a trade if they want to trade for another
star. Well, the problem is, though, they're capped out so heavily. You know, they would have to send contracts back with the pick in order to get something back of any value. So they're still in a situation salary cap-wise where they're kind of in a box. And that pick will really help them in terms of adding another young talent if LeBron leaves. But, you know, anytime you've got LeBron James on your roster, you're the best team in that conference. And I think that, you know, he's going to continue to dominate the East for a couple of years now. If he decides to go West and goes with the Lakers like so many people are talking about, well, there's still that problem up the coast in Oakland, the Golden State Warriors, and they seem to be set up, Kendall, for a 3 to 5 year run of dominance.
Yeah, you know, and that's why, the move that Chris Paul made when he left a $200 million extension on the table to go to Houston, you're still not going to beat Golden State. So why not just take the $200 million, take your beating like a man, but hey, listen, at least you're getting paid for it.
Right.
You know? So that's why I don't understand, you know, Paul George, of course, there's rumors of him going to the Los Angeles Lakers. So if Paul George goes to the Los Angeles Lakers, where's LeBron? I mean, where's there room for LeBron? You know, I mean, this is a crazy scenario. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron just stayed put in Cleveland.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the Roto-World Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for 6 different types of leagues, positional rankings from 5 of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draft guide. That's rotoworld.com/draft guide to take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
I think Ainge's thinking is that certainly they are going to contend this upcoming season. But I think this move to get Kyrie means that they are honing in on the following year. So the 2018-19 season as the year they're going to put everything together, because they still have Kyrie under contract. And certainly they're hoping at that point LeBron does go west. And then they are clearly the class of the East.
Sure. But you can't hope for LeBron to leave. I mean, That's not the way you build a team. And they're a little bit short on size right now with Al Horford, that, you know, the famous donut guy in the middle, you know. He's going to be their center right now.
I thought the Bulls' entire plan the last 10 years was hoping LeBron leaves.
Yeah, well, that strategy hasn't worked out too well, has it?
He's left, but he stayed in the conference.
Yeah.
You know, Kendall, one of the things that we've been seeing on Twitter and other social media is that Bulls fans are asking, hey, why didn't the Bulls get more for Jimmy Butler? I know we touched on it a little bit, but, you know, it's difficult to trade an all-star in his prime and get equal value. I know you feel okay with what they got from the T-Wolves, but is looking at what this trade happened today make you rethink that maybe the Bulls could have got a little more?
Doesn't make me rethink it at all. Kyrie Irving, the reason why this trade happened is because Kyrie Irving is a game changer. He has championship experience. Kyrie Irving can win a couple games for you by himself. And that's what you trade for when you make a blockbuster deal and you give up key assets. That's what happens when you have a player like Kyrie Irving. Now, if Jimmy Butler could win a couple games by himself, then, yeah, I see making that deal. Like Danny Ainge making the deal for Jimmy, or asking another team that we need more, because Jimmy Butler can put a team on his back and take us and win us a couple games. But like I said earlier this summer, if Jimmy had won a couple games for the Bulls in the Boston series, he would still be a Chicago Bull. He would be, okay? But I think the guard pack said, okay, we've rode Jimmy as far as we can ride him, so now we have to cash in our chips. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what the fans have to understand.
I think it's natural to think about, oh, the Bulls should have got a better deal for Jimmy. But when you look back at the landscape and the offers they got from the Celtics, we know that the best offer they got was the offer they took. It's not like there was this better offer that Ainge had.
But they set a self-imposed deadline. They wanted to trade him by draft night, and I think that's where they got maybe in a little bit of trouble, because the Paul George thing materialized, now the Kyrie Irving trade. If they had hung on, maybe they could have gotten more for Jimmy.
That's a huge risk, though, because the opposite can also happen.
He's got 2 years left on his contract, though.
He does, but then you talk about getting through past training camp to the trade deadline. What if there's an injury and you're not trading him at all? I mean, there is a significant risk factor if you decide that, you know what, we don't like where this deal is now. We're going to wait until the trade deadline, February of next season. I mean, that's essentially, you look at what the Kings did when they traded DeMarcus Cousins. It was a year and a half, you know, trade deadline with a year left on his deal, and they didn't get a very good offer for him. It's rare that a star gets traded for equal value, and in today's trade, they got equal value in return.
I saw something from ESPN Stats and Info, Kendall. They said that this was the first time that two guys who averaged over 25 points a game in the previous season were swapped for each other. It's never happened before, so a trade like this is unprecedented.
Wow, yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, if you look at all of the players that have gotten traded this summer, you look at Chris Paul, Paul George, now Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas, DeMarcus Cousins in the last 6 months, these are true, like, top 10 players in the league. I mean, I think this has never happened before. I never would have – if you told me these guys would have been traded at midseason, at the beginning of the playoffs, I never would have believed you.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you know what? It just – the NBA offseason is better than a lot of sports regular season.
It really is.
After every Sox game, don't miss Subaru White Sox Postgame Live with Chuck Garfine and Bill Melton. Hear from your favorite players and get a live look inside Rick Renteria's postgame press conferences. Subaru White Sox Postgame Live after every Sox game on CSN.
Well, let's talk about Dwayne Wade. That's something that Kendall referenced earlier in the show. And it's going to be interesting to see how his year develops. You know, Kendall, that Dwayne Wade is always very conscious of his image, how he's portrayed by people. He's very active on social media. He wants to be liked by everyone. So he's not going to come out and be the bad guy and say, you know, I want out, I want all my money, buy me out of this by four training camp, or I'm going to hold out and I'm not going to show up. He's going to be, you know, the good citizen behind the scenes. And I think that they may already have some kind of understanding that when it gets to around the trade deadline or maybe the All-Star break that, you know, they'll seriously consider buying him out. What do you think is going on behind the scenes? Is there any conversations going on right now, or are the Bulls just going to play the waiting game with D. Wade?
Well, I think that there is something going on. As we all know, a rumor is just a premature fact. So I actually saw D. Wade in L.A. last weekend, and, you know, he said that he was with the program. That's what he told me. But as we all know, that the Bulls is probably in their best interest to buy him out. And then, like you said earlier, Mark, then I think that he hitches his wagon to Cleveland and sees if he can win one more championship.
Kendall, do you think it's an absolutely foregone conclusion that when he gets bought out, and he will get bought out, that he is not finishing the season in a Bulls uniform? Is it an absolutely foregone conclusion that he is going to team up with his good buddy LeBron James in Cleveland?
I think so. I mean, that's the natural place for him to go. You know, he still has enough in the tank where he can let LeBron and do most of the work, and the rest of the players around him do the work. And, you know, he can come in and, you know, average maybe 14, 15 points a game to give them something where they can perhaps offset an offensive run that Kevin Durant puts on. You know, I think that he's still capable of doing that. And, we just have to wait and see. I think he goes to Cleveland at the end of when he's bought out, and then I think he returns to Miami for 1 year and retires.
Kendall, anything else you can share from your conversation with D. Wade last week?
No, he just had on one of those crazy outfits again. You know, he had on some tight pants and everything that I probably wouldn't wear, but, you know, that's D. Wade's style. So.
Well, Kendall, I'm sure you saw the reports, which have been confirmed, that D. Wade's got his boys in school in the Miami area now. I know that part of it was he was looking for some better competition for them because they were relegated to the freshman team at Mount Carmel. But also, I'm sure that Wade and his wife are already planning on their next step after Chicago. You know, I think his kids can go to school in the Miami area. He can finish the year wherever he wants to go. And who knows, maybe he plays one more year back on South Beach and ends it where it all began.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just what I just said, that he retires in Miami, plays one more year. I think that the feeling is between he and Pat Riley that he never should have left, you know. But, you know, listen, I thoroughly enjoyed watching him play in the Chicago Bulls uniform last year. I mean, I think that he had flashes of his old self. But, you know, as we know, when you get up there in age, you can't do it every night like you used to. But, listen, let's take advantage of seeing him play a half a season here in Chicago, if that's what happens, and, you know, recognize that we have one of the greatest players of all time in a Bulls uniform for a one and a half season.
And we should point out, too, that, you know, if a buyout eventually happens, which we all expect, it's not a bad thing. I mean, no. You have to look at where the Bulls are in their progress as an organization. They've undergone this rebuild program. They want to get as high a draft pick as they can. And having Dwayne Wade on the roster, you're going to win more games than you would with not having Dwayne Wade on your roster. Wade is going to turn 36 in January. He wants to be able to call the shots on how he finishes out his career. He doesn't want to finish his career on a team that's going to win 20 to 25 games. So it makes sense for both parties to come to a resolution. There's no bad guy in this. This is just business.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just business. I mean, you know, and as you said, Dwayne Wade's a competitor. Whenever he's on the court, he's going to try and win basketball games, and that's something that, right, quite frankly, that's not in the Bulls' best interest right now. I mean, we have to – and we don't want this, but, you know, we have to not do so well in order to move up in the draft and to get better in the future.
There's a lot of uncertainty about when they're going to have the buyout. You know, is it going to be in training camp? Is it going to be a month in the season? Is it going to be in February? I actually think my prediction is the buyout is going to coincide with the health of Zach LaVine. That once LaVine is activated and healthy and cleared to ramp it up to 30-plus minutes a night, I think at that point it makes sense for the Bulls to then say thank you to Dwayne. The buyout's worked out for whatever amount it's going to come out to, and then Wade goes on his way.
That's possible.
And that may be sooner rather than later because I hear Zach LaVine is ahead of schedule in his rehab.
Yeah, he says he's going to be ready for training camp. That's what he's telling people. The Bulls are going to slow him down. They know, obviously, 22 years old, he's got his future all in front of him, and he's also going to be a restricted free agent at year's end. So that's a valuable asset, one of the few they have on the roster that you know they want to build around. So they want to make sure he stays healthy, and he's a big part of their future.
You know, I understand that he probably thinks he's ready. Maybe even the doctors say he's going to be ready come September. But I would take the extremely overly cautious approach with handling this.
Yeah.
This isn't like trying to push Rose back so you can make a playoff push and contend for a title back 5 years ago. There is absolutely no true incentive to get Zach LaVine on the court in November or even December with the way the season's going to go.
Right.
I mean, be realistic. We are looking at a Bulls team that is probably going to win between 15 to 25 games, and it's probably going to be on the lower end of that range. So probably.
But, you know, we're looking at the exact end of the spectrum as we were with Derrick Rose. this is funny because now we tried to hold this guy back when we were trying to push Derrick Rose into play. So, you know, it's funny, but I like Zach LaVine's hunger. I like that he wants to get back on the court as soon as possible and start the rebuild right away. You know, I'm very interested in what Dunn can do and what Markkanen can do. I really like what they got as far as, you know, rebuilding with these young players. And, you know, yeah, we may have a low win total this year, but I'm excited to see these young players play.
No, it's always fun to watch young players develop, and that's something we're going to have to look forward to in the upcoming season. And who knows, if they get a high draft pick, they have tons of cap room next summer, maybe they could turn around pretty quickly.
It's a couple really good players in the draft, too.
Yeah.
You know, if they get a top three pick or number one pick, I mean, there are some guys who are impact caliber that can insert. And then I personally don't think their window to get back to the playoffs is that far away. You know, I know when you can't really project these things, you look at what the Sixers have done, and they're still trying to recover, and they should this year back to the playoffs. But I don't think this is a three-year project. I honestly believe that with the right approach to free agency and a top three pick in this next year's draft, that they could be back in the playoffs in the following season.
I totally agree with you, Bulldog. You know, and that's why I was saying to a lot of the fans around the city that, you know, don't be so down, because we're not going to be down for long, okay? Because we've got three solid players and a possible draft pick and free agency with cap room. So, you know, we're sitting in a pretty good position.
Yeah, don't call me C-Red Fred yet.
No. You don't want to go that far. But there is a lot to watch in the upcoming season, and it's going to be fun to follow. Hey, KG, thank you so much for jumping on with us. I know you got childcare responsibilities. You're trying to enjoy the rest of your summer and still working out like crazy. So thanks for jumping on, and we're only about a month away till training camp, so we'll see you real soon.
All right, guys, thanks.
The one and only Kendall Gill. Thank you so much for listening to our breaking news podcast. Kyrie Irving traded to Boston for Isaiah Thomas and some other assets, including that coveted 2018 Brooklyn Nets first-round draft pick, unprotected. You can catch all our podcasts at csnchicago.com, also on Apple Podcasts. We're hoping to set up something with retired referee Danny Crawford. We'll be coming at you again real soon.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.